Welcome to Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods, where every story, every scar, and every strength becomes a part of our survival strategy. This is more than a podcast. This is the front line of transformation. Here we live by the 3L collective theory. And that is your losses plus your lessons equals the greatest legacy. A healing framework created by myself for communities who have been surviving systems never built for us. Together we name our pain, we lift our lessons, built the legacy we wish we had. Because healing isn't just personal, it's political, it's cultural, and it's collective. So take a breath, pull up a chair, and let's get into this episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods.
What's up, everybody? Thank you again for another episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. We have a very special guest. And before I introduce him, I just want to again acknowledge that we are addressing the 3L Collective Theory in this podcast series. So a lot of the conversations that we'll be engaging in will be blessed upon that formula there. And so I'm going to pass it on to the co-host to also introduce himself before he introduces our special guest.
What's good, everybody? Johnny Hines here. Happy to be back. Excited for this opportunity to bring on my brother, man, a community advocate, somebody who does a lot of things for the community. And I feel like he would be a great person to be able to speak on losses, lessons, and legacy. So I'm excited to introduce no other than C. Lee.
We here, man. We definitely here, man. Let's make a good episode. Let's have a good conversation. Let's enlighten and educate somebody. Let's give some wisdom. Let's change somebody's life. Let's use our testimony and be a blessing. Come on.
For a lot of people who don't know you, right, this is a new platform, man. I want you to get out, take the opportunity to just introduce yourself. You know, where you from, where you reside, where the world biggest square come from, like where your hustle and your grind come from. Just talk to the people a little bit.
Well, you know, my name is C. Lee. I'm a hardcore gangster. I done shot 13 people. I done sold a bunch of dope. You know what I'm saying? What else? I done robbed a bunch of people. So, you know, I just changed my life. Nah, man, I'm joking. My name is C. Lee. Go for the people. I was born and raised in San Francisco, California, by way of Antioch, California. For those who don't know what that means, is when gentrification happened. A lot of people from city, from city, Richmond, Oakland, Vallejo, all these different places, moved out to Antioch, California, and it became a gumbo pot for everybody. I was one of those people who moved to the gumbo pot at everybody my second semester of my freshman year in high school. You know what I'm saying? And I go by C. Legal for the people, C. Lee. You know, some people they know me for something I say, the world's greatest square. I make that very known. And I say that because I want young men and women to know it's okay to be a square. You don't have to live a lifestyle of criminality to be cool or accepted. It's okay to, you know, live a righteous life and, you know, and enjoy the fruits of life, you know, and be happy.
Well, I appreciate that, bro. Once again, thank you for your time today. Man, I've been supporting you for a lot of years, man.
Yes,
from
the sir.
Brand to the my cards. I got my cards right here.
Oh, you know, man. Bless.
You know, Yeah. So, you know, I've been a supporter for a lot of years, man. And I've been respecting the things you do in our community, from the Prime experience to the PS5 giveaways to all of it, man. I really appreciate it. So without further ado, man, I want to open up the conversation with our first question. You know, when did you first start seeing yourself as losses being a part of your legacy instead of setbacks? Like, when did you start seeing that as something that happened for you instead of to you?
Well, I'm going to forewarn everybody watching this conversation. I'm going to be mentioning the word God a lot because I'm not going to sit here and not glorify God or take credit for things that I didn't do on my own. So one thing I ain't going to do is lie here. So first and foremost, I would have to say, God, you remember when I had a clothing line. Mm-hmm. So I was popping. I mean, and I'm not being arrogant here. My clothing line was very successful. I mean, rappers, NBA players, NFL athletes. I mean, it was a big clothing line. Clothing line went up. And a clothing line went down. I had my own shop. I had my own location. And when you build a business from the ground up, and I mean, I was 21, 22 years old building this thing from nothing. Then I built it up to having my own shop. And then you lose it all. It's almost like you lost your baby to a certain degree. Like, my baby's gone. Mm-hmm. And as far as business wise, that was one of the first big losses. And God was so merciful. He was taking that from me to prepare me to where I am now. I couldn't see it at the time, but God was pruning me and building me and preparing me to be the influencer, to be the entertainer, to be the media figure, to be the philanthropist I am now. I just had to go through that loss and experience and everything in that season to get to, you know, to better me and get me where I am now. So when you want to talk about losses, it don't feel good when your checking account, your savings account is bone dry because you're doing everything in your power to sustain the business that was once here, now it's here. That hurts. I'm giving up everything. I'm trying to keep this shop afloat. I'm trying to buy one, get one free and take the bundle deal. And I just, it's not moving no more. Everybody got a clothing brand now. And okay, you got too popular, because in clothing, once you get too popular, if you don't evolve into something else and you stay stagnant, it'll just plummet. So I learned a lot. I can talk on and on about that, but that was my a loss that really shifted me and it helped me.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that, especially like the vulnerability of like how other folks can see, you know, our brands being successful. But then the real toll it takes on our mental health, our physical health, and just our being, because then we're almost in a sense, a lot of people can experience almost something similar to that. But instead of thanking God, they could blame God. Right. And I think that perspective that you had and said, I'm still going to glorify God, even despite the losses that I'm experiencing, there's power there. Can you speak to how maybe your faith also may contribute to how you were able to navigate recognizing those losses as a part of the legacy rather than against you?
Well, at that time, I've always had a belief in God. But at that time, I wasn't meditating on scriptures. I wasn't heavy in prayer. You know, I just believed in God. So God was so merciful during that time when I was ignorant. He still kept his hand over it. And then he always showed me in time, look, something different for you. Look, it's something different for you. Like, Johnny, you know a guy named Remedy.
Yeah.
In a wheelchair. I'm going to give you a true story. So I met Remedy in my clothing store. Remedy's a popular rapper and producer here in the Bay Area. Very popular, right? So Remedy just came in supporting me. And when I met Remedy, my clothing brand is kind of on the downslope. Remedy comes into my shop and introduced me to entertainment. So what I do is be a servant to Rem. I have no dealings in entertainment. I'm not an influencer. I'm not a media. I'm not a host. I'm none of that at this time. You know what I'm saying? So I start going live on my phone once my clothing brand crashed because I'm back to working security. Remedy introduced me to entertainment. I'm not knowing what's going on. I'm just being a servant to Remedy. Remedy puts the call in the Thizzler. My brand take off. So Remedy teaches me about entertainment, then puts the call in. He don't even know what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? And then it just, now my brand goes to a place, my finances goes to a place way bigger than the clothing.
Oh, so almost in a sense, it's like you experienced what could have been like the biggest L at the moment for you, but it was a turning point in that loss that took you somewhere else that you probably didn't even imagine yourself going.
Exactly. And that literally, I can't take no credit for that. That ain't nothing but God. Nothing but God. You know what I'm saying? So.
No, definitely. Especially that the people that come into your pathway are never by coincidence or accident.
Exactly.
Wow. That's so fire. You know, talking about losses, I think a lot of, especially thinking back in our community, a lot of people tend to get so saturated in the loss that they forget that there's a lesson to be learned there.
Oh man. Absolutely. If you just look at, gratitude is important. Gratitude will keep your perspective a certain way, because you'll start looking back like, I got took away from that relationship and I look back, I'm glad that didn't work out. I got took away from that business, I'm glad that didn't work out. I got took away from this, that, and the third. And if any of these things go through, none of what happens now is here today. And I'm truly grateful where I'm at today. Am I rich? No. But am I happy? Yes.
And that happiness is the ultimate thing that money can't ever buy.
Absolutely.
Authentic joy, that real authentic peace, that real authentic, like, just energy that comes from feeling proud of who you are and how you show up in your work. And so what advice would you give people who are listening to you right now who may have had a clothing business as well and theirs fell in a similar way, but they never got back up from it? What advice would you give to folks who might have given up from that?
Again, I told you, I'm going to mention God a lot. Sometimes your plans isn't God's plans. You know what I'm saying? Like Jeremiah 29:11, God essentially knows what he has planned for you. He knows what he has organized for you from beginning to the end. So a lot of the time, what we want, what we desire, isn't what's best for us. Mm-hmm. But we don't see what he sees. We only see what our flesh. We only see what's in front of us. But he sees the unseen. So what you want might destroy you. It might cause you so much success. It might stress you out, take you away from your family. It might affect your physical health. Or it just might simply destroy you mentally. But you don't see that. So sometimes when things fail, it's for your good. Actually, a lot of the times when things fail, it's for your good.
In order to experience a powerful legacy, and again, a legacy, how I define it, it's ourselves, us, right? We are the transmission of a legacy. The things that come from us, a podcast, clothing line, all that comes from who we are. That is our legacy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, would you say that the losses is a critical part to building your legacy, that people got to go through losses to be able to build that?
I'm going to take it one step further. Losses, pain, that wilderness season, that loneliness season, all that is necessary for growth because you're getting prepared for another level. Just like in the gym, when you go into the gym and you lifting, it's going to hurt. Your body going to be sore because your muscle arc is expanding. You're losing fat. The muscle's coming. All growth is going to take some discomfort. And that discomfort might hurt. That discomfort, it might be some depression in that discomfort. It might be some anxiety in that discomfort. It's going to be a lot of different things in that discomfort because you're being prone, you're being changed, and it's a difficult thing. But on the other side of that is a lot of progress, a lot of success, a lot of prosperity, because God is not going to leave something unfinished. Anything he starts, he'll finish.
God is not going to leave something unfinished. Wow. I think that is so empowering right there, because oftentimes people think that the plan is just failure. And they get stuck there, and they think that their worth is determined and defined by their losses. But in reality, it's the losses that's defining the legacy that's to be built, the lessons that are to be learned, so that we can navigate ourselves, not only just learning, because again, you saying not a lot of people come from our communities and know how to be business owners, right? That is something that we have to go through. And in that experience, we're going to take hella L's, but be not discouraged of the plan that God has for you. Because if you get lost and saturated in your pain and you get stuck there, then you'll forget the lesson and give God permission, the permission to lead you to your legacy as it relates to that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you might go through it more than once or twice. You know what I'm saying? Because some of us, like myself, when you hard headed and you know what I'm saying, when you don't listen, pain is your best teacher. Pain is your greatest teacher. You know what I'm saying? Because you like to learn the hard way. So I got to pull you through this because you have a purpose in you, a big old purpose. So in order to get that out of you, I'm going to have to take you through this wilderness. I'm going to have to let you go through this pain to get what I'm trying to get out of you to accomplish what you need to accomplish.
It's almost as if like pain plays a critical role in the development of ourselves, right?
Absolutely. 1,000%. 1,000%.
Powerful. And Johnny, I'm gonna pass it over to you for the next question. I love where the conversation is going. Thank you so much, Seeley, for that.
Yeah, so, I was just sitting here still on the subject of losses, man, and just being, sometimes it's good to sit in it, right? Sometimes it's good to sit in with your failures, man, so you can learn, right? Because they always say you learn more from your losses than you learn from your wins. Because you can still be successful doing things wrong, but you'll never learn from your mistakes. Or the things that you did to get there, right? It's important not to only to acknowledge our losses, but to be intentional with moving through them.
Because that's your greatest teacher right there. That loss, for example, I'm gonna just use an example. With my clothing business failing, it taught me making sure you budget properly. Don't overspend. Don't emotionally spend on a business. If the business is not turning a profit, it's time to don't go jump in your savings account. Don't go jump in your checking account trying to save it. Sometimes it's time to pivot, you know what I'm saying, and adjust differently. And running a clothing brand taught me that. Sometimes you learn from that L. That L is there to teach you things that the win ain't going to be able to teach you. And one of the things is overspending in business. Oh, I want it to look like this. I want it to be perfect and this, that. And then you go spend so much money. Now your profit margin went from this to now you in the negative. So now I know budgeting properly. Don't overspend. Make sure your overhead is sustainable. Don't go get this high overhead because you want this big lavish business that you can't sustain. You know, so, and that a loss taught me that. So now going forward, now I know to keep my overhead in control. Don't go emotional with the spending. Even when the money's coming in plentiful, keep your overhead cool because there's a chance that in any business, it might take a dip. So make sure you good for the dip too. So when it dip, you still good. When it go back up, you still good. A loss taught me that.
Yeah, I think in one of those situations you talked about, right, having a shop, right, when we used to come over and get the clothes from you, when you used to be doing, you know, podcasts and letting people hang out in there, right? Like you said, you was paying for that space, right? Exactly. And then you realize that, bro, I lost this. I could pivot. I'm doing my IG lives from the crib. I'm already paying rent here. I'm already paying a mortgage here. So that's my overhead, right? I'm got to put more money out there in order to get where I need to get to. But I think one thing about you is that I always appreciate is from your losses, you've always pivoted well in regards to your lessons, right? You always adapted. Like you said, you wasn't always just known for, but I'm a clothing brand owner. Like, nah, you've always pivoted to something, whether it's a IG host, podcast host, social advocate, community advocate. You've always been able to pivot. When did you realize that, like, your knack for pivoting? And then did you ever feel like you pivoted too late? Or did you always... Because I always seem like when I'm looking up, you're pivoting at the right time. So you know, from my perspective, outside looking in, it always seems like maybe you're pivoting at the right time. Or are you sitting in seasons too long? And then something's kind of pulling you out of it?
Every time things change for me, it's 10 times out of 10, God removing something. And I don't necessarily even try to pivot. I just be authentically myself. So I want all of us in our community, we start to let people identify us and then we'll gravitate towards that. Let me explain what that is. I love hip hop music, so I can host a hip hop show. I love philanthropy because I love my community. I'm big on mental health. I currently have a therapist. You know what I'm saying? Been going to therapy for a while. I've had therapy giveaways. What else? Essentially what I'm saying, we're not one thing. We're a variety of different things. So be your authentic self. And when you are your authentic self and not what people want you to be, that in itself is going to be your pivot. So, okay, I want to do this right now. I'm on my philanthropy thing right now. I might be hosting a hip hop show. Right now we talking social justice, what's going on in the community. Right now we talking mental health. Right now we talking physical health. You know, I'm always preaching drinking water. So what I'm saying is be your authentic self. Don't be what the audience thinks you think the audience likes most. When you're your authentic self, it's going to open up doors for you. So that be the pivot right there, just being myself. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And that's one thing I do really well. And, you know, when I think about it, that's something God planted in me early. Just be your authentic self. And that's going to open up the door. And I say he planted that in me early because you're talking to somebody who don't smoke or drink. You know what I'm saying? And this wasn't always cool, especially in the Bay Area where everybody's smoking, everybody drinking. I don't smoke or drink at all. You talk to somebody who don't got one tattoo on his body. You know what I'm saying? Like when that wasn't cool and everybody at 14, 15, 16 years old was blasted. You know what I'm saying? You talking to somebody who don't never even had a gold grill, not because I don't like them. It just was never my thing. This when everybody had grills. You know what I'm saying? But essentially I'm telling you that because God planted something in me early. I just want you to be your authentic self. I don't want you to try to be like everybody else. I want you to be you. Just be you. And that's going to open up. That's going to be your pivot, being yourself.
So a lot of your pivots, like you said, came from subtraction by addition by subtraction. Like a lot of things that he removed from you, you already naturally went to what you are genuinely known, what you're authentic for, right? So you didn't have to try to pretend to do something or go with the wave because you always kind of naturally create your own wave.
Exactly.
And ultimately, it made you cool enough and valued enough where everybody kind of just wanted to be a part of it because they really value your how authentic and genuine you were.
Man, I built a phenomenal, huge brand literally being my authentic self. That's why I have to give God so much glory. I'm not the greatest talent in the world. I'm not some big genius. I am not this great grand old Big C Lee for the people with 90,000 followers. That's not who I am. I just literally am myself, and God did the increase. You know what I'm saying? God did the increase. And that's why I told you I'm going to talk about God a lot, because that's the truth. I can't lie to y'all. He just added everything on. I'm booked all of May because of God. Like, God did the increase in a time where nobody's getting booked. You know what I'm saying? I'm booked all May and in June. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, when you your authentic self and you genuinely, genuinely believe in a God, it's going to open every door you need, because he's never going to steer you in a direction where you're not called to be.
Honestly, that speaks to a lot of listeners right now, because I look at social media and you see everybody trying to follow the trend, because they think that the trend is where the success is at. But the trend is not the success, right? The trend is a trend. It's high for a little bit, then it comes back down. Then you got to find another trend. Then you follow that, comes high. But when you're off, you just literally put it out for the listeners to hear, that when you are your authentic self, it comes. It is a trend.
Exactly.
You don't have to go out and seek these things, but because you're so authentic in who you are, and then because you also navigate yourself with so much confidence in your God, the two together make you almost, in a sense, powerful in a way that you don't have to go out and reach and pretend to be something that you're not for the sake of the success.
Absolutely. I don't have to go do the latest TikTok trend. I don't have to go asking wild questions on the street to try to go viral. No disrespect to nobody who do it. You know what I'm saying? But again, like, when you just do you, it's going to open up the doors that's for you. And I'm not going to have to chase anything. Even with IG Live, I was going live in 2017 before anybody was doing it. So before I got popular on Fizzler, I was popular doing my own thing, a scheduled show. Nobody was doing it. This was before the pandemic. This was everything. 2017, 2018 is when it got popping. I was working security, going live. I created my own lane. Well, you know, God gave me my own lane and it worked out. So I just try to tell people, just be your authentic self and don't worry about a number. The number might be low. The podcast numbers might be low. The live numbers might be low. All the numbers are going to start off low. But when you're your authentic self, look, I think the word of God says, one man plants the seed, another man waters the seed. God does the increase. Just keep going. You know what I'm saying? Like, just keep going, and it's gonna work out if it's in God's will. Just keep putting that content out there.
No, that's really powerful, and I love the connection that you always keep bringing forth about community too, because you're saying it's not just a me thing. It's through me, I do this work to reach other folks, right? And naturally, your authenticity is the superpower that leads and facilitates that. And so a question I have for you is, what role does community play in turning individual pain into collective wisdom?
That's a phenomenal question. Essentially, I just try to be the person I wish I had. I really try to be the person I wish I had. And our community, there are people that show up. There are people that look out. But it was a very specific way I would like somebody to show up for me. A very particular way I would have liked somebody to show up for me. And a very particular kind of person I would like to show up for me. Like, for, I'm going to say something. I've never really said this publicly. I'm from the projects. Like, I come from Section 8 housing. I come from WIC vouchers and food stamps and all that. In the hood, when it comes to helping people, they only look at the shooter, the dope dealer. They only look at them. But, you know, they look at the worst of the worst. But in the hood, it's a lot of squares in the hood that still need some help. Most people that grow up in the projects aren't shooters, aren't drug dealers. They aren't killers. They aren't violent people. They ain't pimps. They not on drugs. They just squares that live in that community. Most people from the hood aren't in criminality at all. They just in poverty. So I believe that person needs somebody to show up for them too. Not saying other people don't, but that person needs somebody to show up for them too. So I try to be that person to show up for them too. So I'll show up for the shooter and the drug dealer too, but I also want to show up for that young man or that young woman who ain't in none of that. They just in this environment because they was born here, they was raised here, their mom or their daddy got them here, and they just want some support. So I just try to be what I wanted, what I would like somebody to be. You know what I'm saying? That big brother to show up and, you know, help with something here and there, just to, like, because that mean everything, because it plants a seed in you. And then when you grow up, you want to do the same thing. So now we got a trickle down effect of people wanting to give back to their people.
The ability that you have to decriminalize folks who go through poverty is something that's so valuable in our community today, because we're literally witnessing people criminalizing folks and saying they don't deserve to be here because of their tattoos or because of this. But in actuality, it is the oppression that people of color face in their communities constantly that impacts the way that we could show up for ourselves. When people are born into poverty, you see things differently from other communities, because sometimes you open up your fridge and you ain't got it. Sometimes you come home and there's a notice on your door and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get rent paid. And for people who grow up in those communities, it could be hard to feel like a legacy can come from you with the circumstances that you're dealt with. And so what advice would you give to people who might have a deck of cards and a deck of L's that they don't know how to navigate, but when they look at their life and they're like, oh, this means I'm unworthy of it, unworthy of trying, unworthy of using my life experiences to figure out a lesson to build that legacy. What advice would you have to people who are navigating that reality of poverty, of gun violence, drug infestations in the community?
Well, for one, God said you were beautifully and wonderfully made. So no matter what your circumstances is, God think you incredible. Secondly, you are in the mecca of creativity. Because your circumstances are so bad, your creativity is greater than anybody else. What you have, everybody else wants. Your circumstances are the worst, but you have something that everybody else wants. Imagination. You have creativity. You have something that everybody desires. They pay millions and millions of dollars searching for what you have. These marketing companies search for what you have. They want the creativity. They want somebody who know how to make something out of nothing. They want somebody who can survive the worst of circumstances and still smile. So you have the greatest thing ever inside of you. You dig? That's breeding inside of you. That's bubbling inside of you. That's everybody else wants and fascinated by. All you have to do is figure out a way to get it out. You know, all you got to do is figure out a way to get it out. So you should be happy where you come from. Everybody wants what you have. Don't think because somebody has more, they are more. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. That's a lie.
That's a word right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And you spoke to that, right? And one of the biggest things, a person that I look up to who made the best out of his life as well, going to prison at 17 years old, spending 20 years in prison in Wallow, right? He's right now getting paid multiple millions, like you said, for just to be a cultivator for YouTube right now, right? Like you said, your experience, they want your testimony, right? They want to hear about where you came from and how did you make it out, right? Because it wasn't made for us to succeed, right? We're not meant to be successful, right? But along those lines, I had another question for you. What do you love most about growing up from the hood and the life experiences you gained from growing up in inner city inner projects? And what frustrates you the most about it?
One thing I love about growing up in the hood is I'm able to truly identify with the hood and the suburbs. I love being able to identify with my people and speak to them, but I also can walk in another room and identify with them too. I mean, you can catch me in Marin City in the jungle at 200 day, you know, and they treat me like family and I'm loving them like family in the middle of the project. You know what I'm saying? That's where Tupac was living at for a minute. So you can catch me there and I'm there like one of them, but you can also catch me in a political meeting interviewing, you know what I'm saying? The district attorneys carrying myself too. So I love the fact that I can speak the language of these people and translate with their needs and their true wants and their desires to other people. So that's what I love. And I just love the genuine, authentic love that they have in certain communities when they love you, you know, in the projects, because nobody has nothing. It's a authentic love there for you when they really love you. You know what I'm saying? So I love the love there. And one of the things that's what's wrong with it. It's a mentality thing, meaning the hood is, when you born there, it's good like to take the wisdom, the game, the experience, but from a mental space, you got to understand it's more to life than this. It's more to life than this community. It's more going on outside of this community that's affecting this community. You know what I'm saying? So in the hood, we got to recognize it's more going on. It's other people making decisions for my livelihood, and it's time for me to get the knowledge and try to get in a position of power or set the kids up to put the kids in position of power so we can start controlling our own politics, our own funding, our own resources, so they can't gentrify us and just move us around as they see fit.
Yeah.
So it's essentially sometimes in the projects, you'll get your mind to get stuck there. And it's a big old world.
A huge world. And oftentimes because of the reality that many people face in the hood is that sometimes their home is chaotic. They open up the door to the community. That's chaotic, right? So sometimes people may not look at themselves as legacy builders, but that's exactly what you're saying. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper into that. Why is it revolutionary for Black and Brown communities in urban spaces to think of themselves more as legacy builders?
I think it's difficult because when you're just trying to survive, when you're just trying to survive, it's hard to think past survival. You know what I'm saying? When you really ain't got $100 to your name, when you really ain't got $200 to your name, it's kind of hard to see anything else than I need some money. Look, these shoes is dirty now. It's hard to see more in yourself when you're doing so bad. Because if I'm just being so empathetic, when I'm broke, when I'm doing bad, I'm not thinking about nothing else but trying to get some money in my pocket. I don't want to talk to nobody. I ain't trying to hear nothing. I got bills. I just paid yesterday $500 for registration, and I had to pay another $36 to get the real ID. You know what I'm saying? So when you spending money and you got bills and responsibilities, it'd be tough to focus on legacy and community. I'm just trying to like get it together. Furthermore, if I want to take it a step further, sometimes we just want to be out of that. So it's hard to think about your legacy. I just want to be out of here. I just want to be in the suburbs. I just want some Jordans. I just want a chain. I just want to be able to go to Maestro's. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be out of here. So when you're doing bad, you just want to get out of that. Just like depression. When you're in depression, you're not seeing what God is doing and preparing you for. I just want to be out of this damn depression. When you're going through a heartbreak, when you're going through a loss, I just want to get out of this. You ain't worried about all the lessons that God trying to teach you. I'm just trying to get out of this. So it just takes a certain level of wisdom and experience to know, you know, see, it's more to this. It's more to this that can come from this if you apply yourself and you just change your perspective.
That survival mode is so real because oftentimes people don't really understand, especially, you know, Johnny and I working in education. We work with young kids who are navigating the war out the window, which is like poverty, oppression, maybe stuff happening in their household. And the teachers are like, man, F, they don't care about school. And it's like, did you ask about the quality of the life of which they experience? Because just as you said it, when you're in survival mode, there's no thinking and planning of the future. It's surviving right now, today, as it exists, right? And in time in education, we often see a disconnect between teachers who may not have come from our neighborhoods, right? But they have a passion and a heart to want to provide that service. But still, there's a disconnect because you can, unless you come from the hood, you cannot see and understand with the empathy that is needed for the transformation because you don't get it. Textbook cannot teach it. And so what advice would you give to folks who are in position, like you said, being a mentor, being somebody in position to offer that support to the younger generation, for people who do have a passion and a heart for it, but don't have always the lived experiences, what advice would you give for them to build more empathy and understanding for the population that they serve?
I think it's important for the system to start bringing in direct funding to people who can relate to these kids. I think it's important to start allocating funding to people who can speak to their pain, who can speak to their experience, who can speak their language, who know who a Rod Wave is, who know who an NBA young boy is, who a Lil Baby is, who these kids really look up to, who can and understand why they like them. I know why you identify with this. So bring people in who can speak to their needs. And once you can meet them where they at, it might be easier to get through to them. Also, if I'm just being completely honest and knowing how to deal with them, because sometimes giving certain kids more attention just make them worse or make them rebel a little bit more. Sometimes a kid needs to see other people thriving, other kids and other groups thriving for them to want to join along. Once they see that y'all having a good time, but it's just knowing how to deal with different personalities, because when you're from that, you understand different personalities and how people operate. like, okay, he got a follower. He kind of like a follower. Okay, this one, the leader right here. So if I get this one and I can get him to get it with it, they going to come along because they look up to him. Or this one got a certain level of potential. If I can pull his potential out and they see progress here, the rest of them going to come along. But it's just being able to identify that and identify the talents and bring and pull them close.
I love that. So sometimes it is a barrier if folks are not hiring people who look like them, come from the same experience and have that same level of understanding. Because in the classroom, how can you learn from somebody who don't even understand you? Right? Absolutely. You don't even get it. And so that perspective that you bring forth, I feel, really touches on a lot as it relates to folks navigating the system right now. And so what is your hope that, you know, this theory, the losses plus your lessons equals a legacy? What is your hope for how this legacy can impact future generations navigating in the urban experience?
I want us to go about how we look at pain differently. And this is a season I'm going through currently. Viewing pain and loss differently, viewing pain as preparation, viewing pain as purpose, viewing pain as I'm still here alive and breathing, meaning God is putting me through this for a reason. There's a purpose behind this pain. And the fact that I'm still living there means I can use this to be of service to somebody. So if we simply start changing our perspective on pain and why and loss, I think it'll benefit us greatly. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing. Just to answer your question, a shift in perspective. I want a lot of us to shift our perspective on how things affect us.
Your words are backed up by faith. They're backed up by confidence. And they're backed up by a legacy of which you are creating for yourself. And so I just, again, want to honor you for being a part of this special, or being a special guest on this podcast, blessing the listeners to this, because a lot of folks that do listen in are navigating the system right now. And so as a lot of us here are moving on up and figuring out a way to fight the system in a way that honors ourselves and our gifts, we want to put people up on game to figure out that for themselves as well. The system fails us, but that is not all that you are, right? You were wonderfully made, is what you said, as a relates to God, the creator. For everybody tuning in, thank you again for tuning into another podcast episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Tune in again same time next week. Seeley's information is also going to be tagged on this episode, so definitely go follow his pages, support him and his vision, and also be a person who can learn from other people as well. And so again, we tap in with y'all. Much love, much peace, and we'll see y'all later.
Bless. I'm out.
All right, peace.
You just tapped into another powerful episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Thank you, first off, for showing up for yourself and for the legacy that you're building. Remember that every loss we name, every lesson we share, becomes a part of the legacy that can't be erased. We're not just healing. We're shifting culture, we're breaking cycles, and we're making sure the hood we come from isn't the hood we leave behind. If this moved you, share it with somebody you love, follow, review, and come back next week. We're just getting started. Until next time, keep living the 3L way. That is, your losses plus your lessons equals a legacy. Peace, power, and purpose always.